The Killer Pod from Outer Space presents Watch This or Die. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Killer Pod from Outer Space. My name's Vinny. I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Jeffrey.
What's good?
Oh, my microphone not on.
It's a tradition.
You're on. Uh-oh, what happened then?
I don't know. Is your microphone on?
Oh. Hello? Oh.
It was not the producer this time.
Either way, it's a tradition. You got to start the episode.
Well, who was diddling with my microphone? Because I haven't touched
nobody,
it in a week.
Nobody should have diddling with
your
microphone.
Someone turned it off as the ghost. The ghost.
Are you good?
Do
you want to restart or are you good?
Nah, just keep going.
It's character. Yeah. Dr. Love, how are you?
Fantastic. Thank you. Busy with work, but getting there.
Oh, yeah. It's Christmas season. It is full-fledged for work.
Bananas.
For episodes.
Episodes have been going well.
Well, I'm excited for the first of our Christmas theme stuff.
Yeah. Not as mad at you anymore, so that works.
Yeah, why were you mad at me last
week? You know damn well why. Our guest bailed. Son of a gun.
Yeah, that was bad.
Oh, well.
Well, you know what? Joke's on him. Now he's not invited back.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to be an awkward Christmas Eve for you.
All right. You got anything you want to bring up before Watch This or Die?
No. Just we're doing Watch This or Die, and we got some movies that we're going to talk about.
Christmas movies. Oh, let's do beer first.
Oh, yeah.
Because I found a good one. All right. For tonight's selection, we got horror theme. It is the Hop Show IPA from Beer Zombies Brewing Company. We'll post up the can of this one. It's got a sweet creep show themed can art. And then it's got the Hop Show name, obviously.
I'm surprised I've never heard of these fellows, but I'm surprised this is the second California brewery we've gotten in like a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to make it out this far anymore.
This is a double dry hopped IPA. Speaking of breweries making it out, the brewery that made the Stone Cold one.
Yeah, El Segundo.
I was just at the distributor. They have a full line of their stuff now.
I wonder if they just blew up.
Or they just...
I mean, not blew up. Business is good, you know.
Northeast, and even especially Pennsylvania, is a sought-after territory to get into.
Yeah, but I remember hearing a couple years back, beer talk, a couple years back that like the West Coast brewers were just like not interested in sending their stuff this way anymore.
Well, the beer battles are real, just like the rat battles. Oh. East Coast is not like West Coast.
Oh. I didn't know
because you know how I used to go to the Great American Beer Festival in Denver?
Yeah.
It's like the biggest beer fest and the most like highly acclaimed in the world, if not the country. Mm-hmm. And East Coast breweries wanted no parts of it. They're like, oh, we're not a part of it.
Oh, really? Yeah. So would the East Coast breweries have represented a death metal and beer festival that got canceled because of the COVID?
Yes. that would have been so fun.
Oh, no.
So many good breweries. So many good bands. Maybe 2022 we'll be able to go.
Side note, on that day, I invited you, but you never showed up. I did Death Metal Beer Fest at my apartment.
You did it by yourself and got in trouble.
Oh, my God. I got ripped. I drank all day. I did a power hour at night with Vestibule Amy. We put on like a Horror Trailers power hour while I continued to listen to heavy metal. Passed out. Someone knocked on my door at like 2 or 3 in the morning. Music was still on. I was so drunk that I couldn't get off the couch to answer the door, so I just like hit power and went back to sleep, and then had to write a note and left it on my door all day for anyone.
I saw the note. It was I guess it was endearing, but a sad.
Yeah, I think
apology.
I lied too. I was like, a rough week at work.
Yeah.
Got a little carried away last night. When in reality, it was just like my just beer festival got canceled, so I was gonna get
do my own beer fest.
Yeah. Good time. I mean, the music was good. I got to pick it, so.
Oh,
I didn't even open that yet. My bad.
This is nice. Very smooth, little sweet, danky.
The can is really classy.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was called, but I got another one from these guys. It wasn't like horror movie theme, but the can art was very.
Oh, that's dry.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into this.
Yeah, man. I think you should start off. I believe I started last time.
All right. Producer, do you have a synopsis of Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 5, The Toymaker?
Oh, I'm glad you threw that on there.
I just cleared with Jeff to make sure that I have the right one. So very simple here for Silent Night, Deadly Night 5. An elderly toy maker and his son make killer toys designed to kill their customers and children.
All right.
That's an outright lie. Where'd you get that synopsis from?
That would be from IMDb.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good... I mean, it's partially true, but not with the movie.
Yeah, it's kind of... It doesn't really fall in line with what actually goes down in this gem of a wacky movie.
Mm-hmm.
So this one was all kinds of cheese dripping off of it and goofy, which falls right into my wheelhouse, especially when you throw in Christmas. The Christmas element was very strong in this one. You had all the themes and the music and then the toys, which normally this franchise focuses on Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Santa plays a part in a little bit of it, but this one's all based on Christmas presents and toys coming alive with a little blue spark. And then fucking people up.
Yeah.
Pretty good effects for the part five of the franchise that got forgotten about after part two.
Yeah. You would not have thought that there'd be animatronic toys going on and stuff.
That's I can't remember his name, but the guy that did the effects from Nightmare on Elm Street part four.
Did
other stuff. Yeah, he did this.
Yeah, right on.
Which you can see from part four on Elm Street, the end, like the how they can with stuff going into the mouth.
All right, I gotcha.
Love the kill where the larva toy, which I don't know why that would even be a toy.
Yeah.
It was scary without it even being a killer toy. But when it goes through his mouth and out the eye, that was pretty cool. Well
I
done.
Think it was based on remember the light up caterpillar dolls?
Yeah.
I always get like it was kind of based around that or something.
Scary version of that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they did some stuff in this one that you would never think, like I said, a forgotten about franchise, part five,
mm-hmm.
getting the money to do a complete car explosion.
Yeah. Which makes I'm pretty sure it was, like, just another movie that they're like, oh, this nobody's going to go see this. It's called Silent Night, Deadly Night 5.
It had nothing to do with.
There's Christmas going on.
Yep.
So,
but all kinds of goofy and, what's his name? The toy maker.
Mickey Rooney?
Yes. He just all kinds of made me feel uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's just an uncomfortable guy to look at.
Yeah, he's just a scary old man through and through.
Drinking his Jack Daniels, beating up his son.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to get it. You can't leave him hanging. Get into the twist, man.
So the twist is the son of the toy maker who the whole movie you're suspecting. So there's a little bit of... I guess mystery going on.
There's like a misdirection.
Stuff. Well, so during the movie, as the audience, you're supposed to be wondering or trying to figure out who is responsible for these toys killing the people of this town. And you don't think it's going to be the father, the toy maker. You're either leaning towards the random guy that comes into town and is kind of lurking around, or the son. The big twist was the son is actually a toy
mm-hmm.
created by his father.
Oh, he's like a Ken doll.
Yes.
His name is Pino, and my dumbass, the first time I watched this, did not pick up Pinocchio and Geppetto.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice it.
Ah.
It didn't even hit me until the end when I was like, oh,
yeah,
oh, I get it. And then he does.
I mean, it wasn't, I guess I spoiled it for myself, but just looking at some trailers and screen grabs, and actually the trailer revealed it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then some screen grabs that you see what's going to happen. But yeah, I picked up on the...
Yeah, cool. It went right over my head.
How'd they abbreviate the father's name?
Pedo. Joe Pedo.
Yeah.
Which is not exactly the best shortening. Yeah. Pedo. Yeah. Yeah, the mystery lurking man, which is... this was like...
They played that poorly.
Yeah, and then he's chasing down the mom in a parking garage. You're like, oh, this is going to be it. This is where he's going to get her. And then no words... making love in the back of the truck.
That was so weird. I was like, what the hell? There was just a little cat and mouse chase.
And then they decide to reveal that she's his ex-husband, her ex-husband, or the kid's dad, not her ex-husband, right?
Yeah.
Just the kid's dad.
So how did the husband that gets killed, the movie kicks off with the husband getting killed and the son witnessing it, and now he's all fucked up and a mute. But how did that husband, did he just Marion knowing she was pregnant, or did he think?
I think the kid was born. They make it sound like the kid was born, and then he went off to do his own thing. And he was. I think it's. He's like. Oh, you're
so he knew what he was getting into, or did he think it was his kid?
Oh, that dude? No, who the hell knows? They don't get into all that.
In order for her to get pregnant and then marry someone else like that, she had to be like snap about it, and meeting some dude and just marrying him right away, and then saying, "Oh yeah, I'm pregnant." Yeah. Oh yeah, that wouldn't work.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not really well thought out.
That kid. Where's he at today? He was a special kind of something.
Special kind of something, huh?
He's a mouth breather.
So
the entire movie, he just breathes through his
mouth. Well, that's what he does. Yeah,
he's like, I don't like that. Also made me uncomfortable and was very distracting.
Did you not feel uncomfortable when there was the doll on mama trying bang scene?
Yeah, like just like the dialogue that was going on from the toy son boy was like talking about him or her being his mom, but all while he's yelling this in a frantic way, he's dry humping the shit out of her.
And he's got no pants on, but he's a Ken doll. He's a Ken doll. He's got nothing down there.
It was super weird. This whole movie was super weird.
It's bonkers.
But I love the bonker shit. Now, this one, I'm glad I watched it, and I'm glad I watched it during Christmas, but I never need to see it again. Like, maybe a screening when it's like out of my mind a little bit.
I watch it every year.
Yeah, see, I will not be doing that.
I love it.
But
and I try to get as many people as I can to watch it every year, because it's just like it's so out there that nobody.
Well, yeah, if you haven't seen it, you for sure need to during the Christmas season. But this one would be fun to revisit in a couple years, like with our group of friends, like watching it with a group and like boozing a little bit,
yeah,
and having a laugh.
We say that a lot.
We're going to when COVID's over.
Yeah, God damn you, COVID. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Oh, excuse me. So notoriously I have Silent Night, Deadly Night 1, 3, 4, 5. I don't own 2. So I actually seen these like goofy ones before I got to see the infamous one, if you will. But this was of them, this is my favorite one of the sequels. It's just so out there. And like Mickey Rooney. Like what is happening?
He just needed work.
Yeah, but the comedy behind it is apparently he was one of the, when the original came out, he was one of like the strong voices saying that this movie needs to get out of theaters and stuff because it's going to traumatize children.
I don't know about that.
I mean, like I said, he probably didn't even know he was in a Silent Night, Deadly Night 5 at the time.
But yeah, I definitely give this a watch.
Cool.
This is some good Christmas wacky antics here.
All right. Next film is for me, Better Watch Out.
All right, so Better Watch Out. On a quiet suburban street, a babysitter must defend a 12-year-old boy from intruders and only to discover it's far from a normal home invasion.
Intriguing. It leaves you intrigued.
What could it be?
What could it be? Well, it starts off that way. But then there's got to be the twist. The twist.
Did you see it coming?
No, but God. All right, hold on. So the movie is that in the beginning. That's how it starts out. The twist is that the 12-year-old boy has set all this up with his friend to somehow woo the babysitter into liking him.
By saving the day.
But yeah, by saving the day. However, he is soon revealed to be like a little psycho.
He's a little fucked up dude.
So this is what bothered me about the movie. It is boring as fuck. It's a lot of she's tied in a chair and him just trying to play psycho, where like he just says crazy shit and he's like, "I bet you've been fucked a bunch, haven't you?" And it's like, you're 12. Like, none of this is coming off as like weird or threatening or like he's playing psycho, which is why it doesn't work for me. Like,
yeah.
And then like, so him and his buddy obviously is like not in on this part of the plan, and his buddy's like having a little moral dilemma, like should he help him and whatnot.
I like that kid in this.
I didn't like either of the kids. I found them both annoying. But so back to the psycho kid, like he plays psycho, but then soon as something happened, he turns into a little bitch. So he's like, he's like playing psycho. Then he starts smelling that the kid's smoking a joint in the other room, and he has like a meltdown. And he's like, "You're smoking a joint here. My mom's gonna kill me." And I guess it was supposed to be played for laughs, but it doesn't work. Like, you either have to go full on zany or make this kid a believable psycho because he's 12 years old. And
I think that was supposed to be part of the back and forth, though. You have this 12-year-old kid that's either a psycho or trying to be psycho for some reason.
I don't know.
He's also still a 12-year-old kid, so he's going to have little temper tantrums about stupid shit.
I couldn't buy a lot of it because I know, like, it's a movie, suspend your disbelief and all, but he's 12, and there's, like, points. He has a gun, a handgun, and there's points where he's trying to point it, and he's shaking because, not because, like, he's scared, but, like, the gun's too heavy. You know, that, like, shaking, like, he's, and it's just, like, I can't buy into this now. It just doesn't work for me. Now, his plan, like, he has, like, a plan. Like, he's going to frame her ex-boyfriends, and he brings over the one current boyfriend and tries to frame the ex-boyfriend for it. And the first boyfriend comes and he tries to like whack him with a the kid tries to whack him with a baseball bat and he does, but the dude gets back up. Now the kid, I guess, is only supposed to be 17, right? Like they're 17, 18, whatever it is. You hit me with a baseball bat, I don't care how old you are, I'm dropping forearms on your face until it's like mush. And like, so he gets up and gets a hold of this kid and like gently throws him against the wall.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, the movie should have been over there. Like, he would have beat the shit out of the kid, beat up the other little nerd because he was...
Well, I know, but how many... I mean, you can't...
I can't buy
slashers are you like, oh, well, you should have just ran the other way or but it's, not tripped?
That's or. Different. That's... I buy the villain. I don't buy this kid as threatening or scary or intimidating.
I thought it was... I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's threatening because... The kid's trying to be whatever, he's trying to be something that he's not, and it's also just turns this type of subgenre with the babysitters, and either the babysitter being the hero or maybe the kid being a hero, just turns it on its head. So that's what I mean. I haven't had a rewatch of this, so who knows what I'll think on a second viewing.
Yeah, but. The plan's way too elaborate. Like, there's just too many moving pieces for it to have gone through, and it feels very ripped off. Like, it feels like it takes things from other movies that were successful and just throws it in here. And I think the like Scream, like it has like a Scream vibe to it, like the two kids being psycho.
Yeah.
Kind of has like the babysitter vibe, you know, with like the horror comedy.
Yep.
And then it's got like a Who's Next kind of vibe going on, like the home invasion angle. Mm-hmm. And I felt with the one thing that just hit me right in the face, and I know I harp on this movie because I love it, and we've spoke about it before and who's involved, but like P2, the crazy guy doing crazy things to impress the girl. And I just, that's all I could think of the whole time is like, I've seen this before.
A much better version.
Done
of
way
it,
better.
Yeah.
Right. Now the plan, his plan, like I said, is to like frame this kid and there's shit going on. Like he's shoots a gun off. He kills his friend with a shotgun and like throws the Home Alone paint can gag and like kills the one dude and then somehow manages to hang the other dude with a lawnmower. And then he frames it. And then at the end, the cops, his parents come home because they're back from wherever. They freak out. And it looks like the one ex-boyfriend came and killed everybody with a knife and a gun and all this shit. The problem I have, so he sets it up. And, you know, he, like, smears the paint on. Like, he, you know, he does, like, the old school, like, frame-up job. The problem I have is the whole time there's snow on the ground. There would be blood, paint, his footprints, just shit everywhere. Like, the cops would come and be like, no, this isn't what happened at all. Like, why are your... At one point, he gets out of his room on the roof, runs through the window, and then runs back in. So it's like, well, his pajama bottoms would be wet. When his mom gets home.
Why are you making it a procedural? Like,
only because...
You pick and choose movies to do this to.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Well, only movies you don't like, you dissect and like, well, it's not even based on reality.
Only because the plot is that this kid could conceivably concoct this plan and get away with it. Because that's his whole deal. Is he's just like, I'm the master. I get away with everything. And it's like, because he stole $20 from his mom. Like, that's like his general basis on why he can get away with
it. That goes into his craziness. He thinks because he stole $20 from his mom, he can get away with anything, and he's a genius. Like,
I don't know. Maybe it's just because he was a little 12-year-old bitch. I just couldn't buy into it.
I don't know.
I mean, he's a bitch. Tommy's not a bitch.
Oh yeah, when it comes down to the
to everything,
to you know,
well, everything
cracking under pressure.
Yeah,
he's a little
everything
bitch.
That doesn't involve somebody tied into a chair, he's like throwing, screaming
yeah, when,
like a
when
girl.
When he's in complete control, he's a little Mr. Tough Guy. But then as soon as he loses control a little bit, he cracks, and that's part of the, I think, the entertainment of it, like to seeing this kid being all over the freaking place.
Well, I didn't like it, and I think the only so, and this brings me to another question. Well let me finish this. I think the only saving grace that made people watch it was a Christmas horror movie. So people were going to watch it regardless. But I don't think anyone's ever going to watch it twice. Like, there's no reason to see this again. It's not entertaining. It's very boring. It's a lot of that kid just talking and trying to be a psycho. Because yeah. Everyone's got tape on their mouths. Everyone he captures, he tapes their mouths shut. So
yeah,
like,
this is by no means a must-watch every Christmas movie for me.
So I give it a die. You know, I'm always going to say this, watch it and judge it for yourself. You know, the contracted fiasco, apparently I was wrong for that, but people are whatever. But next point, Shudder exclusive. I have a couple questions and points. Question, is that them acquiring or them financing?
Acquiring.
Okay.
This was back in their acquiring days.
So they're no longer acquiring? They're just financing?
Now they're doing both.
Okay.
This was before they got bought out by AMC. So it was,
gotcha.
It was
so
early
they, okay.
on in there.
All right, never mind. I mean, it kind of still, I was going to say, Shudder exclusive at this point, kind of, it means like passable movie.
What do you mean?
Like Blood Vessel. It was fine. Wasn't great, but it was a Shudder exclusive.
I still have yet to be disappointed by a Shudder exclusive.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like they're very, like, it's either good or bad. Like, I don't feel like there's like an in the middle.
Well, but you got to figure, if it's a Shudder exclusive, it's something that came off like the indie circuit of, what's it called? Not film premieres, film festivals. So it didn't get bought by a major studio. Didn't get bought by one of the cool indie studios,
right?
Like,
that's what
like
I mean.
Blum or yeah. A24 or whatever. So then Shudder got it.
But that's what I mean. So like,
so
all,
you don't go in with super high expectations. You just go in thinking you're gonna watch a.
I guess I don't know when. It's hard for me because I have a hard time like your Independence Day, World of Worlds thing where I say, well, it's just kind of a big budget, explosion fest. Mm. I have this hard time taking, and it's, I guess it's my own fault, taking the Joe Bob side of Shudder and expanding it. Like when I see like stuff like this and it's not like older and like culty or schlocky, it, I don't know, it's just weird for me. It's my own problem with new movies, I guess.
Yeah, you got a big problem with new movies. Have you seen Revenge on Shudder yet?
Prevenge?
Revenge.
Oh no.
All right, I'll get that to you as a Watches or Die in the future. That was one of Shudder's first, actually, I think it was their first acquisition. And it's a cleaned and polished modern French horror movie, but it is awesome. It's really beautifully shot. Okay, we'll get to that later.
But just to clear up what I'm saying is like, when Joe Bob's on and I watch the Joe Bob stuff, it's in my wheelhouse for the most part. It's right there, except for that time Heathers came on. That kind of threw me off.
That was weird.
But so when I start going through Shudder, and I'm like, ooh, this movie, ooh, that movie, ooh, this movie. And then I see, like, Shudder exclusive. I'm kind of like, meh. Probably not going to watch it. Like, I wouldn't.
That's crazy to me.
I wouldn't have watched Blood Vessel if you didn't tell me to.
See, I look forward to, like, I'll go on. If I haven't been on Shudder in a week, I'll be excited to log back in and be like, oh, like, I wonder if there's going to be a new exclusive. But I'll watch all of them.
Yeah, we're very different in that sense. I'll tell you what I wish was a Shudder exclusive just because I'm dying to see it, but I think it's going to get released on VOD first. Psycho Goreman. God, I can't wait for that. And I was so hoping that like Shudder would pick it up just so it would be like there to watch immediately.
That's, I don't know why you're not excited for like the new stuff that's coming out, to see what directors are doing and
I don't know.
Writers are doing. And
I don't know. It's just something. It takes a lot to get me to pick up something new. I don't get it. I'm an old soul, I guess. I don't know.
I just call you a douche.
I mean, that's fine. It's fair. I'm not
gonna. All right, one more thing on this movie, though, because I guess it depends on the audience, because I thought it was interesting. Lyle watched this one, and I highly doubt it's going to make any of our lists when we get to that portion a few weeks from now. But he didn't really like this one because the kid made him so uncomfortable. He's like, it just really freaked me out and grossed me out that a 12-year-old would act that way.
So I had that thought. I was like, this is the beginning, or like, this is what happens. Like, not to that extent, but it's like when he killed the hamster and shit like that. That's like, yeah, Michael Myers shit there. But I thought that at first. But like I said, he's just so unbelievable. Like the point where she escapes her bindings, they leave the gun on the counter. She grabs the gun. You know it's not loaded, like, duh. But like, he does like the, she points it and click and nothing happens. And then he starts explaining, like, of course it's not loaded, blah, blah, blah. Like, my reaction was like, why aren't you pistol whipping the shit out of him right now? He's fucking like, and that's why. He's like 60 pounds. There's just nothing threatening about him. His brain isn't that great. Like, it's not like some elaborate, like, he had her fucking duct taped to a chair. I don't know. It wasn't very.
I just don't think it's meant to be questioned. Like,
well, that's but that's what I mean. If,
like, oh, like in real life.
No. But that's what I mean. They kept it too realistic. If they would have went zany with it, it would have worked better. Like, if he was doing like crazy shit to them.
Yeah.
Like, if he pulled a fucking car battery and started like blasting their nips or something, like like crazy shit. He's just like, but instead he just like ties them up and explains that.
I don't know. I think it depends on the audience. But like, Lyle was freaked out by this one and like thought it was disturbing how the kid was acting, and
I get,
so it's like the it's like the opposite reaction you had. I think that's interesting that you guys both had.
Look, man, some people watch snuff movies.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Well, audience, I gave it to Jeff to watch, so obviously I get this to watch, but Jeff gives it a die, I give it a watch.
If you're a diehard Christmas horror fan, watch it.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I mean,
I could have, I mean, like, Silent Deadly 5, I'm not giving that a glowing watch. I'm just like, oh, well, it's Christmas. It's Christmas and it's fun, and give it a watch for the Christmas season. If you never watch it again, that's probably fine. It's worth a one-time view.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is Christmas horror. I love Christmas horror. In particular, Killer Santas. What I was saying to you earlier, I wish we had experimented with what we're going to do this week. I don't want to give it away yet, but we're going to do something different this Thursday for the episode. And I wish we had experimented, because there's a movie that I really would have liked to have done called Santa Slay with Bill Goldberg.
Oh, God.
And that's like so bad.
Have you seen
it? I love it. I watch it every year.
Yeah.
I love it. But it's like, it's not good by any means, but it's entertaining.
It's entertaining. I like that one.
But like that's what I like.
Would that make your Christmas top 10?
Yeah.
Oh, you just gave me a sneak peek.
Oh,
thank you.
Son of a bitch.
Tricked you.
Well, we got
to. So that's an upcoming episode.
You have to remember, we have a guest for that. So we have a guest. I want to just preface this now, because it's going to happen, and no one's going to know what happened. Our guest is not a horror movie fan whatsoever.
No, yeah, he is.
I mean,
he's much more of a horror movie fan than the producer.
Okay, well, did the producer cram every Christmas horror movie ever made in the last month?
Yes.
Yeah?
No.
Okay. So he might, his head may explode. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he might have a meltdown.
And he has so many notes, dude.
Oh boy,
he might put us to shame with the amount of notes and trivia and behind the scenes stuff.
He's got to learn how to do a podcast. You can't be reading through, sifting through your notes. Well, that's like, it's all about the chatting.
Just like to get it out there, like, that's why I like when we have the guest. Like, I don't have to take notes, because riffing off of two people is way easier than just you and I, because you and I are. You and I, we go to battle, like we yell at each other and shit. But like riffing off of another person, it's way easier. That's why, me personally, like last Thursday's episode, I wasn't super stoked with, because I came into it just with like my movies, and I didn't have any real talking points. I was just gonna be like this, that, and then you would probably say something, and then our guest would have said something, and it would have been like the Tarantino episode, Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
So I was like super bummed, because like I was just thinking about like. Yeah, I probably could have went in a little more detail in Critters than Furry Guys Invade Earth, but whatever.
That was a good episode. Don't be talking down on our episodes.
All right, I'm sorry. Perfectionist over here.
So, coming up, we have...
Don't announce what we're doing.
No, I'm not announcing, okay. But we're going to have something a little bit different for the next War Games you're going to hear. Won't exactly be War Games. We're going to try something else. And then the following week, you'll be treated with our, and plus a guest, top 10 horror Christmas movies.
We doing 10 or 12? We can go on that one. We'll debate.
10 or 12. But that's going to be fun. And if anything, I'm excited. Who knows what our guest is going to do, but we know for each selection he makes, we're going to get some cool trivia and facts.
Yeah. Also, what you can't see is that we are dressing festive for these episodes. So we'll get some photos out there. But I just want to mention that I have something real special planned for the Christmas episode. So keep your eyes glued to the Instagram for that one.
I'm curious. What are you going to come in, full Grinch bodysuit?
Oh, you'll see. I'm so pumped for it.
All right.
But that's going to do it for Watch This Week. Wrap it up, man. So we got another one coming on Thursday, and we'll catch you then. Until then, I'm Jeff, and he's Vinny. Love, peace, and chicken grease. We are out of here.
We are out.
Welcome to the shop of Joe Petto. Here, you'll find the most amazing gadgets on Earth. Each toy is unique.
What a terrible accident. Sarah, you think this is an accident? Look.
Each specially designed by the craftsman himself.
Buck, where did all these toys come from?
Sarah, what do you know about that old guy from the toy store? I wonder if I told you he was arrested for maiming some kids several years ago.
What reason could he have to hurt innocent children?
Joe Petto always wanted a real boy.
Where's Sarah?
He took him.
Who took him? What? Who?
The man from the toy store.
But he'll have to make what he can get.
All you need is a little of that, and a little of that, and a little of that.
From the producer of Bride of Reanimator.
I want my boy when you're done with him!
I'm your son now, not him!
With special effects by screaming Mad George Inc. of Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4. Comes the most incredible night yet. Mickey Rooney stars in Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker.
Merry Christmas!